Let's go. Jesus is coming soon.
Amen.
Yesterday, we read from The Work in the Life in Steps to Christ, and I want to just really quick, another paragraph I read this morning from that same chapter. So those who are partakers of the grace of Christ will be ready to make any sacrifice that others for whom he died may share the heavenly gift. They will do all they can to make the world better for their stay in it. This spirit is the sure outgrowth of a soul truly converted. No sooner does one come to Christ than there is born in his heart or her heart a desire to make known to others what a precious friend he or she has found in Jesus. Amen. The saving and sanctifying truth cannot be shut up in the heart. If we are clothed with the righteousness of Christ and are filled with the joy of his indwelling spirit, we shall not be able to hold our peace. You got to tell somebody about Jesus. Amen. If we have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, we shall have something to tell. Like Philip, when he found the Savior, we shall invite others into his presence. We shall seek to present to them the attractions of Christ and the unseen realities of the world to come. There will be an intensity of desire, wrapping up here, to follow in the path that Jesus trod. There will be an earnest longing that those around us may behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world.
Amen.
Yesterday was powerful. We are broken people in need of a Savior. And I want us to sing more about that, and more about his amazing gift that we don't deserve one bit at all. So we're going to sing a song, Above All.
Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of men. You were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known.
Above all wealth.
Above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, laid behind the stone, you lived to die, rejected and like a rose, like a rose.
Thank you, Lord, for taking the fall for me. Thank you, Lord, for being that beaten, tethered rose for me. Thank you, Lord, for taking the cross for us. And thank you, Lord, for not only taking the cross and resting over the Sabbath in the grave, but thank you, Lord, that you conquered the grave and that because you live, we now have a hope.
Amen.
And we now... Because you live, we can face tomorrow. Lord, you say in this world that we will have tribulation, but take heart because you've overcome the world. So thank you, Lord, for the reality of this next hymn written by Bill and Gloria Gaither. Because you live. Here we go.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow because he lives. All fear is gone because I know he holds the future and life. Life is worth the living just because he lives.
God sent his son.
God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love.
This is so good.
Heal and love. can face tomorrow.
Lift it up.
Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives.
Right, Ricky, we'll get it to work. All right, there I am. All right, so I like telling stories about people. DW and I have only known each other 8 months, 9 months?
Not too long.
Well,
maybe a little before.
Camp meeting is where we got close. But so DW comes in, and I'm a huge Michigan State football fan.
Also, yes? Likes wrestling.
Yeah, that's where we hit it off. But anyways, I'm a huge Michigan State football fan. I am from Michigan, along with Pastor Jason. We went to academy together. And then, no, you're not from Michigan, Clayton. Sorry. He's confused, yes. But anyways, so DW here is talking how awesome West Virginia football is. Hush that guy down over there, Jason, will you? Anyways, so, and I'm like, oh, man. So I start.
Send Appalachian State to beat him again.
All right, anyways, so long story short, DW and I didn't hit it off the right way. Mm-mm. Until camp meeting. When I watched this guy with no voice get up and preach the gospel of Jesus. Can you imagine him without a voice? He was still everywhere. He was here, there, everywhere.
Up the ladder. I mean the ladder, yeah.
Still climbing.
I'm still climbing right now.
Amen.
Aren't you all still climbing? Amen.
And this guy would not give up because he wanted to tell people about Jesus. Amen. That is the type of worship leader you have today. Someone who will not stop, even with losing his voice and becoming sick because he talked so much that week. So DW, I want to pray for you and then we'll get you going.
All right.
Father God, thank you for DW. Thank you for his willingness to serve you through any storm. And I ask you right now to please speak through him, and may the words that he say bring glory and honor to you only. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, you got me on there, Ricky? Can you hear me? All right, praise Jesus. He doesn't have me too loud, does he? Sometimes I get really excited about Jesus Christ. Let's have a quick prayer. Father, again, we come to you humbly to your throne, and we want to praise you for this beautiful, brisk, cold day that you've given us. And Father, it just reminds us that we need to be on fire to tell souls about Jesus Christ. Father, pour out your Holy Spirit. Hide me behind your cross so that we will only hear and see Jesus Christ through this message and all the presentations today. And Father, in this short time that we have together this morning, I pray that you will say very much to us so that each of us will leave here differently than the way that we came here today. We pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We give him the glory, we give him the honor and the praise. Amen and amen. So today, I want to talk to you about the story of Gideon, about weakness and about God's glory. And in fact, let's go ahead and start by opening up our Bibles together. And this is called, Do You Want to Be Delivered? And in Judges chapter 6, in verse 12, it says, And the angel of the Lord appeared to him, and said to him, The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. For Gideon said to him, O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, Did not the Lord bring us from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the word of God tells us in verse 14, and then the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? You see, brothers and sisters, as we go into this day, we have to realize something, as in Gideon's weakness, that we will still see God's glory. You see, God magnified the Israelites' weaknesses in order to more greatly show His glory. For God will use us in our weaknesses for His glory too. So my question is, what are you seeking deliverance from this day? You see, Gideon didn't have the look of a mighty man of valor. He was cowering silently in the wine press. And Gideon felt and looked like anything other than a valiant man. But Yahweh's view was never bound by Gideon's realities or his actions. You see, Gideon may have been under the shadow of Midian, but Yahweh was not, and he could see beyond the exterior, calling out of Gideon something that the timid man probably didn't even realize that was in him. You see, Gideon wasn't a scared farmer, not really. That's how he was behaving, but that is not who he was. You see, Yahweh's perspective of us is often so unbelievable. It is so foreign to us in our own belief system, in our conduct, that it can be like a bolt of lightning striking our desensitized souls. It jolts us away from the misplaced shadows of our experience into the truth of God's reality. Amen? Based on the end of Judges 6, one might say that Gideon either feared his ability to rightly discern God's voice, or he feared God's ability to absolutely keep his word. And whatever the cause was for Gideon, insistence on having these instructions repeated over and over again, whatever the cause for this was, for a second and a third time, we can be encouraged, brothers and sisters, that God had compassion on Gideon in his weakness and did repeat himself so clearly that Gideon could obey. Amen. And in Judges 7, 9 to 15, it was an antidote of God's grace that can help us when we are afraid. I want you to write this down and read this later today, Judges 7, verses 9 to 15. And I want you to meditate on this. You see, God went out of his way to make sure that Gideon was encouraged. Amen? How can we go out and tell somebody about Jesus if we are anxious and we are not encouraged? If we are down and we are depressed and we don't think we have it in us, then how can we ever go out and tell anybody about Jesus Christ? So God went out of his way to make sure that Gideon was encouraged, and that is to put courage in him. Amen? By waking him up in the night saying, if you are afraid, go down to the camp and listen, and then you will be encouraged. Wow! You see, we don't have to be afraid of God's rebuke, brothers and sisters. Especially when our hearts are set on obeying him, even if we do not have moments of weakness. For courage is not the absence of fear, but rather the assessment that something else is more important than fear. And even after the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon in Judges 6 and verse 34, Gideon still struggled with fear. And I'm sure, brothers and sisters, each of you today who have been called to be lay Bible workers are struggling with this same kind of fear. You see, God is calling Gideon here in chapter 6, and he says, why are you calling me? I'm in the tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. You see, I'm not part of the Levitical tribe of priests. Not only that, but Gideon said he was very poor, but God knew who he was when he called him, didn't he? God knew who he was, but Gideon just couldn't understand it. The same as maybe each of us don't understand why God has called us, but we always want the paid pastors to do it, don't we? But God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies those who he calls. And I know I've heard somebody else say that before. I've heard a lot of pastors say that. So I'm going to say it again. God doesn't qualify he does not. We always want to say that the pastors need to do it, but God doesn't qualify. He doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies those he calls. Help me, Jesus, help me. You see, he doesn't care about our talents. He doesn't care about your education or your excuses. God only cares if you're willing to do what he asks you to do. Amen? God didn't choose him because he was the greatest. He chose him because they were the least. Jesus called the 12 disciples. They didn't take seminary. They weren't from the Levitical tribe. You see, we need the school of the Bible. We need God's grace. And the time is too short. Can you imagine the back and forth between God and Gideon? God chooses who he wants to call, and we don't choose him. He chooses us. Amen? You see, Gideon asks for a sign, and he gives him one. And at the end of chapter 6, after he agreed, he begins to get cold feet. And Gideon confirmed his call because God doesn't mind to confirm it. So God confirmed Gideon's call, didn't he? So number one, he calls us. And then number two, God confirms the call. We often think God calls the full-time pastors into ministry, but we have all been called into ministry, not just the paid pastors. In fact, Gideon, you know Gideon? He would be known as what a lay worker is today. He would be known as a lay pastor. You see, he worked in his father's wine press. He worked in his father's wine store. So here is God calling Gideon, who didn't think he had it in him, a lay Bible worker, just like each and every one of you, a lay person, just like I once was, who didn't think I had it in me, but all we need is the Holy Spirit to give us that courage, to give us that strength. We need the unadulterated Word of God. And when we are grounded in that biblical truth of the Word of God, when we pray for that Holy Spirit, God will lead us and he will never forsake us. You see, in fact, he was known in our terms as a lay worker, and he worked in his father's wine press. He wasn't a preacher or a prophet, but God called him to do this special assignment, and God had confirmed to him that he called him. Amen? So God did what Gideon asked with the fleece in the ground. And you know, wool actually attracts moisture, and the ground would be dry, so Gideon asked him to reverse it. So when Gideon asked him to reverse it, God made the fleece dry and the ground wet around it. And Gideon says, okay, God, I agree. I'm going to do it. Amen? So God calls Gideon, and he is calling each and every one of you and people of all walks of life to go out and tell others about Jesus Christ. Amen? For Jesus says that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. You need, he pray he that the Lord of the harvest will send forth more laborers. Amen? For God has called each of you to be lay Bible workers. And Mrs. White, in Testimonies of the Church, Volume 9, says, the work of God in this earth can never be finished until the men and the women comprised in our church membership rally to the work and unite their efforts with those of the ministers with the power of the Holy Spirit. We will never finish this work until we all work with the ministers. We cannot do the work by ourselves, brothers and sisters. So lay Bible workers, we can't do this by ourselves. We need your help. If you look at the statistics in the North American division and in the General Conference, in places where we have more pastors per church members, the work is actually going slower. But in the North American division, in the General Conference, where there is the least amount of pastors per capita of the membership, guess what? Those conferences and those churches and those areas are growing and flourishing. And the reason for that is because the people around see that there is not a paid pastor and the work has to go on for the glory of God. You see, brothers and sisters, it's not on the paid pastors. I know that we think since they're getting paid, I know we think since I'm getting paid and we're all getting paid that it's all on us to do all the work. But I remember in 1995 when I joined the Seventh-day Adventist Church, Pastor Russell Burrell said, "Welcome to the ministry." Brothers and sisters, you have all been called here today for this divine appointment. God is calling you to be a lay Bible worker, and you are here to surrender to the Holy Spirit so God will raise up many Bible workers here in the Mountain View Conference. Amen? I know years ago when it was the West Virginia Conference that the lay people are the ones who helped revitalize the conference into what it is known today, the Mountain View Conference. Can I get an amen? They saved this conference. With the Spirit. It takes that type of dedication. You see, God is calling Gideons of our day to finish the work we cannot finish on our own. So God says to Gideon, before the assignment, you have too many people. Basically, you have too many resources to even get the job done. So Gideon says, we are outnumbered 4-1. So the second lesson is, when God calls us to do His work, God will use those He's called to His glory. So God will put us in situations where we cannot do it on our own, and we cannot do it with our own resources. You see, God will put us in a situation so the only way it can ever be accomplished is by needing resources outside of yourself. God strips us down so that He can only get the glory. Amen? You see, you might be a lay worker. And maybe you don't have the gas or the money to go do Bible studies today. Maybe you don't have all the resources. Maybe you don't even have all the Bible studies that you have to purchase, and you don't even have the money to get them, to take them out and do the Bible studies with others. But God tells us that we don't need anything else but Him, for He will always provide. So God stripped down Gideon so that the only place he could turn for help was to God. He got him down to 300, and God was maneuvering things so that when the assignment was done and the church plant was built, so to speak, when the multiplication took place, that nobody can give Gideon the credit. They can only give the glory and the credit to God. Amen? You see, God puts us in a place so when we are successful, the only one who will get the credit is God. So when God calls us, He situates us. Sometimes He starts us with nothing and says, you don't need anything but me. Because then when they see the things that you have done, just like Pastor Tony or myself or Elder Tim or Pastor Maurice or Pastor Jason, it doesn't have anything to do with us. The miracle was performed by God. You see, they know I didn't do it because I don't have enough sense because I'm dumb, I'm bald, and I can't do anything without the Holy Spirit, and I don't have any sense to get the work done. I didn't have enough wisdom, strength, or energy, for I was only able to grow the Point Pleasant Church with the Holy Spirit. When God calls us to an assignment, He doesn't want us to look at what we don't have. He wants us to look at what we do have. And what we do have is the Holy Spirit, and our limitations, our defects, God knows about them when He calls us. Amen? And our brokenness, God knows about it when He calls us, and we have the Holy Spirit, we can do everything and anything within God's will and limitations, which are infinite, way beyond anything we could ever do, and He knew our deficiencies when He called us, so we can never, ever use that as an excuse, can we? Paul says, when I am weak, then I am strong. Amen? And whatever God is calling each of you to do today, God understands that you were broken long before He ever called you. In fact, He says, I will use your weakness to give glory to me. I'll say amen for you. So when He calls you, we have to understand it's not about us. It's about Him. Amen? It's not what anybody else thinks about us. It only matters what God thinks. We can never make sense in a God thing. You see, He wanted Gideon to know that if God is on our side, there is no devil in hell that can stand against us. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. You see, no matter the odds, when God calls you, all you need is Him. You don't need all the resources. You don't need all the money. If He calls you, then you just need Jesus. For if God has called you and He wants it to happen, He will provide to make it happen. Amen? When God is on your side, and it looks like you're outnumbered, I'm wrapping up here, Grace, and it looks like you're outnumbered, God says you're going to be successful, because if God is for you, then who can be against you? You see, brothers and sisters, He has promised us the Holy Spirit, and I am with you always, even until the end of the world, and this is God's thing. Brothers and sisters, let's surrender our will to God just like Noah, just like Gideon. We need each of you here in the Mountain View Conference. We need what God has planned to do through you to further the kingdom of heaven. Brothers and sisters, my question to you today is, are you ready to trust in the Lord today and answer His call to go out and tell somebody about Jesus here in the Mountain View Conference and beyond? Amen? Amen. And if you are ready to accept that call today in your brokenness, then my prayer is that you will stand with me as we pray together. I pray that each of you will accept this call. And I am asking you this question right now because it is so very important, because Gideon, just like each and every single one of you, is a lay Bible worker. We need to be more like the Gideons of this world. Amen? And we need to rely on Jesus. Amen? Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we praise You for this beautiful morning that You've given us. And I thank You and praise You for each and every single person that has came here to the lay Bible worker training. And Father, I pray in a mighty way that You will raise up each and one of these broken people, including myself, to go out and do the work here in the Mountain View Conference that You've called us to do. Father, there are so many broken people in this state. There are so many people hurting. There are so many people dying. There are so many people that just don't know if they're going to have another day ahead of them. And Father, that's why we need to be going out and spreading the gospel message. That's why we need to be going out and telling others about the love of Jesus Christ. But Father, we need to understand that we can't do it on our own. We don't need any type of resources. We just need you. So, Father, my prayer is that each of us here that is standing, that we will surrender our hearts and our minds, that we will surrender our strength over to you so that you will pour out your Holy Spirit. Give us a double dose today so that when we leave this place that we will be on fire, just like when the Israelites would be in the wilderness. They would never let that fire burn out. I pray that that fire will never burn out of our hearts and we will go home and we will be ready to go out and spread the gospel message to as many people as we can here in the Mountain View Conference territory. And Father, I pray in a mighty way that you will bless us this day. Be with each presenter. Pour out the Holy Spirit. Protect this building. Keep the evil one away, Father. And we just thank you and praise you for this opportunity that you've given each and every one of us to serve you. And we pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We give him the glory and the honor and the praise. And everybody says amen, amen. And amen.